D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Derek Mason and Adam Vingen here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN's NFL analyst, Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we were just talking about a column that Bill Barnwell wrote on ESPN.com. He was looking at coaches that he thinks could be on the hot seat. He includes Brian Callahan in that. We can quibble with that if we want. But he was talking about the special teams play, and Bill Barnwell broke down all of the issues the special teams have had over the course of the season. But there was one thing that he wrote that we have been talking about so far on this show. Barnwell wrote, quote, "Bringing Colt Anderson, the special teams coach, back in 2025 would be a credibility-killing move for Brian Callahan." What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good coaches in the league, coaching special teams, coaching positions, coaching on either side of the ball. Like, I don't know that there's really ever a situation where, you know, it's a credibility killing move to bring somebody back who has experience. You know, like, and I get it. Like, there have been blocked punts, and there, you know, obviously some issues and stuff like that. And I'm sure that's why Bill is saying what he's saying and writing what he's writing. But I think, you know, and I haven't been in the meetings, but I would venture to say that, you know, every mistake that's been made on the special teams, you know, some of the things have probably been addressed and corrected before they ever even happened. And so the blame on it, you know, ultimately I get it, will fall back on the coaches. But, like, you know, I also think that, you know, there are times where they're, you know, the guys are professionals, like they need to kind of do their job. And so that's why I don't think that there's a credibility killing move, you know, by retaining a coach. You know, like Andy Reid got fired once upon a time by Philadelphia. Like, you know, I think sometimes it means it's time to move on. But that seems like a pretty harsh assessment.
Either way, Tim, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision, you would think, for Brian Callahan, because he's a first-time head coach. He's navigating this for the first time as well. You know, Anderson is someone he goes back with to Cincinnati. Anderson is getting his first shot as a special teams coach in the NFL because of his relationship with Brian Callahan. And he put in the work. I'm not just saying that he just got it because he's friends with Brian Callahan. He put in the work. But it is a tough position for a first-time head coach who's also giving someone he's close to his first crack at being a coach in the NFL, a special teams coach. I just imagine that's a very fine line that Callahan has to walk as he determines what to do next as the season progresses.
Yeah, no, I mean, and listen, that's fair. Yeah, like across the board, you know, I can remember, you know, like when Mike Vrabel was hired to coach outside linebackers, I think in Houston, people like, I don't know. I mean, is he ready for that? Can he do that? Like, you know, I mean, there was that talk. Like, there was talk when Mark Brunell, you know, was hired as the quarterback's coach in Detroit, and it wasn't going great for Jared Goff right away. And people are like, he was, you know, some little high school down in Jacksonville. Like, are we sure, like, he can do that? Like, I don't know. And listen, Dan Campbell hired Mark Brunell for a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons was, look, they were teammates in New Orleans together, right? So, like, I think it's the case with all of these coaches. I think it's the case, you know, in terms of, hey, do you feel like this person is qualified and capable of doing their job? And, you know, when you fall short in any way, you know, trying to identify the reason for it. Like, did you have the wrong guys on the punt team? Did you have the wrong scheme? Was it not coached well enough? So I think that's always the case. But, like, I just say, like, the type of player that Colt Anderson was as a special teamer, the reputation that he had in pretty, you know, quick time as a special teams coach, you know, I don't think it's one of those things where, like, oh my gosh, he's retained as the special teams coordinator and everyone's saying, like, he doesn't deserve to have that job. Like, I don't think it's a fair assessment of, you know, of Colt, what he's capable of, or any of that stuff.
Will Levis was not front of mind for most people in the Titans game on Sunday against the Commanders. They had bigger issues. I mean, Levis played another solid game, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. You know, was playing from behind immediately. So there, mm-hmm. there does come some struggles with that. But we were having this conversation yesterday, and a texter on our show coined Will Levis the beer goggles quarterback. And the reason why he did that was we look at the past 4 weeks, and we've asked you about this each of the past few weeks. We've looked at the past 4 weeks, and Will Levis has stacked some solid games. Now, as you pointed out last week, he did have the pick six against the Texans that put them in a bad spot. They were able to overcome it. But overall, his performance since returning from injury has been better than his performance before he was injured. And I guess my question is, are we wrong when we're evaluating Will Levis as a whole? When we look at how he's played over the past 4 weeks versus the beginning of the season, are we maybe making more of the progress that Will Levis has made over the past 4 weeks because of just how bad he was to start the season?
Probably, because I think that we got to think about like what the expectations were coming into the year, right? Like the expectations coming into the year, like most teams in every city is, okay, like, you know, are we going to play well enough to, you know, go to the playoffs? Like, are we going to play well enough to, you know, feel like we have a quarterback that we want to build around? So, you know, I think that was the feeling in the beginning part of the season. And then obviously when it didn't go well, you know, the initial reaction was definitely like, hey, like this won't work. It's not going to happen this way. And so with that, you know, you then say, okay, like, how do you reevaluate him? I think last week we talked about, like, let's say he continues to play on this trajectory through the rest of the season. Does he enter into the year next year as the presumed starter? Like, I don't think he does. So I think that's a drastic difference from, hey, he's going to be the starting quarterback and everyone's going to feel, you know, good about building around him, you know, for the future.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Tim, not only did the Tennessee Titans, you know, get beat down this weekend, it wasn't good. There were a few things after the game that was said that, you know, seemed to ruffle a little feathers, at least with the fans, let's say that. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, insinuating that, you know, possible hangover from, you know, beating the Houston Texans. And then Brownlee Jr. comes out and alludes to the weather, it being cold. As a head coach, when you hear things like that, what are you thinking? Because Brian Callahan, I guess, caught wind of it yesterday when they asked him the question. And his response was, I thought the guys, as far as the week of practice, he said, I thought the guys had a really good week of practice. I didn't sense any hangover from the guys. But then obviously you get in the game, and from the jump, I text the guys. I said, it looks like they're still in the locker room. It doesn't look like they're out there on a field playing. Mm-hmm. And I've been a part of teams that it's looked that way, regardless of if we've lost a prior week or won a prior week. So as a head coach, when you hear one of your players say that, what are you thinking?
Yeah, here's what I would say. Like, I think there's human nature in all these games. So, like, I think we saw it, like, you know, in some of the divisional matchups a week ago, whether, you know, it's, you know, a Thursday night game and you're like, wait a second, why does Pittsburgh look like that on Thursday night when they look so good, you know, other times? Or, you know, Washington for that matter, like they've been so good and then they play Dallas and you're like, really? Like that's what you're going to look like? So there's always going to be human nature. There's always the, you know, they're all pros. So the difference between the, you know, the really good teams and the two win terrible teams, like while it can seem huge at times, like it's not like college football where the difference is gigantic. So like there's that element. So there's human nature. You're really not as far apart as everyone thinks. And then I think that there's, you know, general situations for each team, right? So like, You know who's a desperate team? The Commanders. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been on a skid. They're heading into a bye week. Like, they, like, their season is getting away from them, you know, after so much promise. Like, I'm sure that they were locked in. So all that to say, like, you and I both know, D-Mace, like, it kind of happens in a locker room, right? Like, mm-hmm. Victory Monday, some stuff kind of gets, you know, swept under the rug a little bit. But here's the thing I would say. That is happening everywhere. You just can't be a team that is ever talking about it publicly. Like, that to me is the mistake. Like, that's who the Dallas Cowboys are. The Dallas Cowboys are the team that, like, you know, you have a player go, yeah, we just weren't up for the game. Like, what? Like, why would you say something like that publicly? Because now all you did was just create a fire that your organization now has to put out, whether it's the head coach or whether it's a leader on your team. So, like, to me, that's the mistake. Like, whatever the mindset of the team was, however they were dealing with the temperature, whatever it is, like, those just aren't things. It's careless, it's sloppy, and it creates a problem that your team doesn't need. Like, that to me is kind of just an immaturity by the players to even say stuff like that publicly.
Now, Tim, how close are the margins between, and you just talked about it, as far as a lot of these teams are closer to one another than not, because that's the way the league wants it. They want parity across the board. But when you see an offense like Detroit, or even, you know, you look at an offense like Tampa with Jameis Winston last night, or what Bo Nix is able to do now with Denver, and you see how it runs, and it seems like a well-oiled machine. It seems like they're running. I know Jameis throws his interceptions, but it seems like the offense, when they need to get it going, they can get it going. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's so hard for others and it looks so easy for teams like Kansas City, or, and I know the quarterback, I get it, but some teams it just looks easier. Even when mm-hmm. you don't have a Patrick Mahomes, it looks easier for some teams, whereas other teams it looks a lot harder.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are some teams where it's like, man, it just feels like you feel like you're playing against 14 people, or mm-hmm. you're playing like on a slanted uphill field. Like, there's no question there's some of that. Look, quarterback is a big part of it. Your plan going into each and every week is certainly a part of it. And then, you know, do you have guys that are stepping up? Like, I mean, that's the, you know, that's, you know, like, that's the differentiator. Like, here's the crazy thing about it. Like, you just take a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? The Kansas City Chiefs are 11-1. So their point differential is plus 54 on the season, okay? Like, for an 11-1 team. So somebody told me that there was a stat out there that was like, if you took away like the final 2 minutes of every game this season, that the Kansas City Chiefs are like a 2-win team or something. It's some crazy stat like that. And so, like, I actually do think it's relatively close. You know, you hear the thing of like, oh, it's a game of inches. Like, it's the little details. And, you know, the thing about like the little details is you never know like which guy has got to be focused on the little details on the most important play of the game. Cause like, you just don't know when it's going to happen. And like, that to me is like the difference between like the 11-1 team and then the team that you're like, well, why are you 6-7 or why are you 3-9? Like, well, you are because, you know, it's maybe a young player who has an MA, you know, at the wrong time, or a special teams blunder, or, you know, a guy misses a kick, or like those are the things that just end up crushing you as a football team. And look at the Bengals. Like, the Bengals aren't an awful team, mm-hmm. but like, their record indicates that they are. And it's because, you know, like, it's been little things each and every week.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on DVD as he does every Tuesday. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation next. Before we do that, this week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Tito's Mexican Restaurant. Known for its vibrant flavors and festive atmosphere, it brings the heart of Mexico to Middle Tennessee. Enjoy mouthwatering tacos, sizzling fajitas, and delicious enchiladas, all served with a side of authentic Mexican flair. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals.